All right, Proverbs chapter 15 is going to be our main passage, 15, 31 through 32. And who would have a New King James Version? That's the version I'd like to read. David, if you'll get that. Proverbs 15, 31 through 32. Life is going to be filled with corrections. This might be on your job that you are getting corrected, things that have to be done a certain way, protocols maybe that need to be followed, the algorithms of the job, however that looks. And sometimes you fall out of line with that. There's some type of correction. Think banking. There's all kinds of corrections. If you are trying to make purchases with money you don't have, there's going to be corrections there. Driving has its corrections and usually come in the form of some type of fine or ticket, maybe even to a point, sometimes standing before a judge if necessary. If you are living in your parents' house, you are a teen or you are a child, there is going to be corrections in life. As a parent with your kids, you are correcting them. In marriage, there has to be corrections made. So the point I'm making is this is a reality of life, correction. And it's also a reality in salvation. Corrections must be made in your relationship with God. Corrections must be made in your marriage as a husband. There are things that, responsibilities that fall on you as the spiritual authority in your home, as the covering for your children, for your wife, in the work of redeeming broken down areas, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's the work of redemption. So broken things that need redeeming, it's going to really fall heavily on the husband, and that requires corrections. As a disciple, there will be corrections. If you're involved in ministry, there's going to be corrections. Even if you are a pastor, there is going to be corrections. So the key to receiving correction, it's going to happen. You will be corrected, but whether you receive it or not is totally different. So the key to receiving correction is to understand its purpose. And our passage teaches us the purpose and the benefit of correction. I want to look at this morning, receiving corrections, Proverbs 15, 31 and 32.
The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding.
Okay, let's think about this, receiving a correction. Let's think firstly about rejecting correction. So our passage uses some words and about how people, they tend to pull away from these words. Rebuke. That doesn't give you, warm feelings. Instruction. There's people that have this mentality is instruction. It's work. It's not going to be fun, right? And typically, people connect these two words, especially rebuke and instruction. They connect these words to trouble. Trouble. If you need a rebuke, it's because you're in trouble. If you need instruction, it's because you're in trouble. You did wrong. You did something bad. So now you need correction. You need fixing. So there's these negative connotations. That's the point here, is sometimes we hear this and it immediately becomes negative in our mind and we want to reject it. And because people view these words with negative connotations, immediately things in them become magnified. When rebuke or correction comes, What gets magnified? For some men, it's rejection. The moment they take a rebuke or the moment they need some type of instruction, immediately the fear of rejection comes upon them. Self-rejection. They start to reject who they are. Right? Past rejection. You know, something totally from the past, because rebuke or instruction, maybe they even came in negative ways. And there were words of rejection connected to those things. And so now it's not even the same. It's not even the same approach, maybe from your pastor, maybe from your ministry leader, but you bring those things in. You bring those things from the past rejection into the present. And so in it, we can think, now I am rejected. I must be rejected because I had to be corrected. I had to be rebuked. I had to have instruction given. Others, what happens in them is it's a worth issue. Some equate worth or value to their correction. In other words, since I had to be corrected, since I had to be rebuked about something, now I am worth less than. Or now I'm worthless. I'm not worth anything. Right? And these things begin to play in your mind. These things begin to overwhelm, and we can begin to reject correction because these negative connotations and these things in us are getting magnified. Self-pity gets magnified. The moment there's rebuke, the moment there's correction, the moment there is something that needs to be addressed, immediately it's, woe is me. I was corrected, and now I'm going to pout and tell everyone about it. I just can't right now because, you know, I just can't function right now because I was corrected. I was dealt with. I took a rebuke. And self-pity becomes magnified in that, and we reject the correction. Finally, it could be an issue of intelligence to some. Some think because I had to be rebuked, corrected, instructed, you know, whatever that looks like, I must not be very smart. I must be an idiot. I must be just so stupid that I can't figure this out. You know, each one of us can have one of these or multiple of these in us. And what they do is they cause us to reject correction. We push it away. We say, no, I don't like how this feels. I don't like dealing with this. I don't want to address this. I don't want to think about this. And we reject it. We push it away. But our passage tells us something very different. Our passage is telling us and sending us a different message when it comes to rebuke, when it comes to instruction, when it comes to correction. It tells us we need to embrace it. It tells us, you know, and we're going to talk about this, even if I feel rejected, even if I feel these worth issues, even if I'm battling self-pity, even if I'm thinking it's an intelligence issue, I still need to embrace it. We're going to talk about how we embrace it, but our text tells us something different. It's sending us this message. The ear that hears rebukes, the rebukes of life, will abide among the wise. Can you hear it? Never mind what you're feeling. And I know that's super difficult sometimes. But can you hear the message? That's the important part. Right? He who disdains instructions despises his own soul. If you are going to let rejection determine your response, if you're going to let worth, self-pity, or these ideas of intelligence, if you're going to let that dominate and it's going to cause you to reject it, you're going to despise your own soul. It's going deeper than just the issue. It's going deeper than just, you know, I didn't like that. It's affecting your soul, your heart. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. But if you can heed it, listen to it, yield to it, that's what our passage wants us to do with it. These are the natural responses. We don't like it. Negative connotations, and these things get magnified. But let's think secondly about the purpose of correction. Because the only way we can embrace correction is to see it correctly. We need to understand the purpose. Verse 31 and 32 uses the word rebuke. And this has a wide range of applications. It can mean to rebuke, the word itself. It can mean to reprimand, argument, or punishment. But it's not just, right? Again, we hear these things and immediately those negative connotations want to come up. But that's not the point of the rebuke. The point isn't to make you feel rejected. The point isn't to make you feel worthless, or whatever the case. The point is for good. Because some decisions, some choices, some actions need reprimanding in order to fix something. It needs that so that you can fix it. It needs reprimanding so something can be healed. Because something is broken, something's broken down, so it needs to be healed. Sometimes it needs reprimanding so something, an area of your life, can find deliverance. Because you're bound in an area of life, so the reprimand is going to help you get delivered. Some decisions, some actions, some choices, they need to be argued against. They need to be argued against. And it's not, again, we hear argument and we think, you know, veins and red face and spit and volume. And no, that's not an argument. An argument might be, look, I'm trying to help you. You're not seeing that this is destroying you. That's an argument. You know, maybe, is it possible, you know, that when you're responding to your wife that way, is it possible that while you're not intending to make her feel a certain way, that you are because of the words you're saying? You're arguing with that. That's an argument. And so sometimes decisions need to be argued. Words need to be argued in order to fix, heal, deliver, rebuild, etc. Some decisions, actions, and choices need to be punished for the purpose of redeeming. This is why we, you know, sit people down from ministry, is because, right? And it's not like, you know, a punishment in a negative way, like, you know, the shaming thing. It's no. That doesn't produce good ministry. That doesn't result in people getting saved. You're putting a spirit in. And so this is how this gets worked out for the sake of redemption. That's the word rebuke. Verse 32 uses the word instruction. Instruction is a broad range again. It's discipline. Chastening. It's correction. It's punishment, again, for the good of you, for the benefit of you. So yes, some decisions, some actions, some words, some choices need to be disciplined, because that's not Christian. You know, that's not how a disciple is going to act. That's not righteous, right? And what that does is it helps you see it so you can fix it. Chastened and punished is basically the same word there. Why? Because pain is a reminder. Pain is a reminder of what I don't want to do. That was painful. I didn't like that. That was something I don't want to relive. That's something I don't want to do again. That's something I don't want to experience again. Pain is a reminder. Pain helps us remember. I wish we didn't have to learn with pain. But unfortunately, some of us learn better with pain. And some of us, it's like repeated pain, you know? Finally, correction. Again, some decisions, actions, words, and choices need to be corrected. And again, it's not always a big correction. It's not always this huge, you know, defining moment. Sometimes correction is just a little bit of course correction. Just a little bit of a, you know, curbing, to curb you in the right direction, to refocus you, to realign you, to keep us going forward where we need to be going so we don't self-destruct, so we don't blow up our marriage, so we don't send imbalanced messages to our kids, so that we don't, one day when we're pastoring and discipling, so that we're not imbalanced as a pastor, as a man of God. All of those things are cultivating, creating, shaping, molding a man of God. So the purpose is to bless you. The purpose of rebuke and correction is to help you. And honestly, yeah, it may be painful. It might be difficult. It might absolutely suck. But it is for your benefit. The purpose is to help you, or what you should say to yourself, the purpose is to help me. The purpose is to help me. The point is to lead to blessing. And Jesus said, my Father is the vine dresser. You know, there are some things that need to be cut away. There are some things that need to be removed. Sometimes that's not so easy. That's not so simple. That's not so natural. But it's got to be cut away. And sometimes that cutting, it does hurt. Sometimes it's not what we would prefer. So if it's meant to help us, if that's the purpose, to produce blessing and fruitfulness and deliverance and breakthrough and healing and all these great things, wouldn't it be better to, number one, make the decision that I will allow correction to help me? Yeah, that's a decision you have to make. I'm going to allow it to help me. If your pastor has to speak to you, if your ministry leader needs to speak to you, if your wife is speaking some things to you, you know, I'm going to allow this to help me. No matter how I feel, rejection might be screaming. Worth might be screaming. Intelligence, those words, you're so dumb. You're stupid, you're all those things you're telling yourself in your head, they might be screaming, but no, I'm making a decision. It's going to help me, and I'm going to let it help me. That's a decision you've got to settle. I'm telling you right now, I would encourage you, settle it this morning. Maybe you haven't received correction. Maybe it hasn't been this exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you can relate. If you'll leave this table this morning and say, I'm making that decision. It's going to help you. It's going to help you down the road. It's going to help you in your discipleship. It's going to help you in your marriage. It's going to help you in your ministry. Secondly, is you need to pray. Pray, number one, God, give me a heart that can receive correction. There's a lot of things. I've talked about you know, rejection and worthiness and etc. But there's some people, their heart, there maybe is some rebellion in there. There maybe is some resistance in there. Maybe it's some kickback in there for a ton of reasons, ton of possibilities. God, give me a heart that can receive correction. And you may need to work some things out of your heart. You may need to let God heal some things in you. You might need to let God work some things out of you so He can work some things into you. Pray for a mind that can remember what we're talking about right now. Right? What I'm saying, I make the decision, I'll allow correction to help me. Pray, God, give me a heart. And God, give me a mind that when it happens, when I need to be chastened, rebuked, corrected, instructed, dealt with. Again, and I hope you understand, it's not always huge. It's not always a big blow up. Sometimes it is the little things, but even in the little things, I've corrected men that have made comments like, well, but that's just your opinion. Well, but that's just your personality. Well, that's just because you are, meticulous. Even in the little things, you would say, you know what? God, help me to remember. I'm going to remember that it's for my benefit, that it's for my good. And you might need to judge some things in your mind, certain mindsets, certain attitudes, right? You might need to judge certain mind battles, not give your mind to certain responses, right? You've ever left a conversation and you kept talking to the person you were talking to that's not there anymore? Right? And sometimes in correction, you can have conversations that shouldn't be had. Thirdly, determine your response. So number one, make the decision. I'm going to allow correction to help me. Pray, God, give me a heart to receive. Give me a mind to remember. Thirdly, determine your response. What will I do with it? Will I disdain it? Will I despise it? Will I shut my ears to it? Right? We don't do it literally, but in essence, you're going, la, I'm not listening. Or will I receive it? Will I apply it? You've got to determine your response. What am I going to do with it? Because there's really only two options. Receive it or reject it. So I'm going to do right. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to say, all right, I'm taking that. Let's close with the blessing of correction. Because our passage gives us the blessing of this. The first blessing we read in our passage is wisdom. Verse 31, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. If you can receive and apply correction, you will gain wisdom. In other words, it's going to stick with you. It's going to stick with you. It's going to live in you. It's going to reside in you. It's going to become your own. You're going to possess it. See, some men, you ever seen guys make repeated mistakes? Repeated. The repeated, mouth that gets them into trouble. The repeated words that cause World War III and turmoil in their home. And it's like you can give the same repeated instructions. Like the answer hasn't changed. And you still haven't changed. It's why? They never learn. Why? How is that possible? Is because in essence what they're doing is rejecting correction, rejecting instruction, rejecting rebuke, rejecting that correction, And when you do that, you will not abide among the wise. You will look foolish. And that's one of those things, like, how is that possible? Because you're not applying it. You're not receiving it. But when you do, you look wise. Because that is a heart attitude. That is a life approach. And that is something God blesses. And when you look wise, and again, it's beyond a look, because again, it sticks with you. It lives in you. There have been things, people have asked me, how do you remember so many quotes of Pastor Greg? Well, I write them down. I've written them down. You know, number one, when you write things down, you're more apt to remember. But I have applied those things. I haven't said, oh, I like that. Eh, I don't really care for that. Yeah, that one's all right. You know, I say, this is the most wise person I've ever known in my entire life. They've given themselves to God. And there's the wisdom of God on their life. I think it's in my best interest to receive. And something sticks with me. It resides in me. And that's supernatural. That's God. That's Holy Ghost, is what that is. And so here, if you will lend your ear, you'll abide among the wise. You'll look like you have wisdom, and you will. You will have wisdom, number one. Number two is then people will look to you for wisdom. Right? It's because there's evidence. It's not just that you look smart, it's that you've applied these principles in your life, and now there's this outflow of fruitfulness, of blessing. You know what? I'm going to ask questions about marriage from my pastor, because his marriage looks like it's good. I'm going to ask questions from my pastor about scriptures or ministry because the evidence is there. People will look to you for wisdom. And then thirdly, people will receive from you wisdom. Okay? I'm telling you, it blows my mind, guys. Personally, it freaks me out. It trips me out. Like, people come and they want to sit and counsel something or find healing in something from this guy. That's, I'm like, God, please help them. Right? But that is what I'm talking about, this wisdom. Because you've received it here and you've applied it, now people are going to say, I want what they have. And I'm going to receive their words. That's the first blessing, wisdom. The second blessing is understanding. Verse 32, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. That word understanding means intelligence. Number one, if you can receive correction, number one, you're going to be smarter about things next time. Right? Can I tell you that I've never made a mistake? Absolutely not. I've made so many mistakes in salvation, in marriage, in parenting, in ministry. I've made so many mistakes. The point is that you're never, it's not like you've got to live in such a way that you'll never make a mistake. If you do, you're living under a lot of pressure. Okay, you're going to make them, but if you can heed the rebuke, you're going to be smarter about it next time. You won't make the same mistake again. You won't make the same decision again. You won't make the same setback again. And you'll be able to then make broader connections. This is that idea of intelligence. This worked here, and it connects. You know what? I'm here. I've never dealt with it before, but it's like you build these connections, and then you begin to realize how broad your understanding becomes. Because you're thinking about it, but it goes back to when you received and you applied it. It made all the difference in your life. You can make these broader connections. You will be smarter about things in the future if you'll receive it today. Second, he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. This is talking about now the inner man. The inner man. There will develop an instinctive and intuitive response to life. Right? you get understanding something at work in you is now instinctive. You can think and respond scripturally. You can think and respond like your pastor. You can think and respond in line with fellowship standards and views. You can make decisions that are right about doctrine, because something in the inner man changes when you heed rebuke. You get that understanding. Okay, that's all I have there. Let's open it up for some questions. Yeah, Phil?
This may be a different topic, but sometimes for me, I feel like I have good intention when I get corrected or some type of instruction. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to apply that. Let me fix that. And I genuinely want to, but I don't. I just kind of, yes, I'm going to do that, and then it just fades away. Is that a different thing I need to work on?
No, what that is in one hand, okay, yeah, I receive that, but then sometimes there is the discipline of it, right? The discipline of it. I'm going to keep doing it, mm-hmm. right? And so that's something to pray for, right? If it's something that is, if you're recognizing that's the pattern, then when you pray, give me a heart that can receive and a mind that will remember, that's that part there. Mm-hmm. Help me to remember, discipline my mind to incorporate this or apply this. Long term, mm-hmm. that to where it becomes part of who you are.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, you know, I've got to write down every day, I need to wake up and go to prayer. Yeah. Right? It's become a discipline. Mm-hmm. It's who I am. I don't need to make a note, don't forget to read your Bible. It's a discipline. It's become who I am. Yep. Yeah. Good. Anthony?
So I worked with a man when I was doing welding, and he was like my supervisor, basically. Didn't have a title, but he was like the weld crew supervisor. And we hired a young man who came in who said he had experience, and he wouldn't take any correction from this lead weld that we all follow. He would only listen to the actual line lead, or even higher up than that. How do you deal with men who won't receive any correction unless it comes from the line lead or plant manager, when in reality it's like, but the correction that you're receiving is going to be beneficial for your, for your growth and development.
Sure. I mean, can you fix them? No. Right? But as Pastor Greg has taught us, there are some people in life you can learn from everyone. And that's one you say, I've learned I'm not going to be like that. Right? And sometimes you recognize it, you see it, you say, I need to remember that. To receive from, if it's not coming from, higher up, is I can receive from those around me. People got to make decisions for themselves. Now, ultimately, in the workplace, as you develop relationship, it may become possible to, hey, man, it would really benefit you if, right? That's a different thing rather than just coming in and saying, right? So there's that aspect. People watch you and they, man, how do you figure this out so well? Or how do you, it's because I take all the little corrections around me, right? That happens. In discipleship, in discipleship where I know men have given me, I can ask questions, right? Have you considered? Have you thought about? Have you seen? Have you recognized, right? And you ask those questions to help them get there. You're not receiving from those around you, right? And then when you're discipling men, that would be opposite there. So, but you have access. That's the point. You have a relationship. And so that would be the twofold thing there, right? On one hand, learn what not to be. On the other hand, that's the point of relationship. And that's the point of what I talked about. Arguments and corrections and adjustments. That's what that would look like. You can ask some questions to help them get there. Yep. Yep. Edgar?
Sure.
Yeah, if you recognize and identify that that is a factor, then that's going to determine how you speak to someone, right? So there are some men, and I didn't talk about it, because, you know, it's an obvious, but another one we could add to rejecting correction would be pride, right? And how you speak to a pride-filled person is going to be very different than how you speak to someone who deals with rejection, right? So it's two different approaches. And one way you can diffuse it is simple people skill. You sandwich correction. You sandwich a rebuke. Positive, negative, positive. It's a simple way to help people hear your message. It's a combo. Yeah, it's a three hit combo. You know, it's the BLT. So but if you can give them, you know, some type of positive thing, and then, but you know what, this is, but then you finish with something positive, they're more apt to receive that correction or whatever that looks like. Because you're telling them, those are two separate things, right? This doesn't negate who you are, right? You're still worthy, you're still worth something, because you're doing this right and you're doing this right, but it's right here. This is hurting you. But it doesn't mean you're worthless, right? So how you communicate that. And that would be one simple people skill there. Yeah. Ayo?
When you mentioned, you say some areas need reprimand for there to be deliverance. Is that like, can you explain that? Or?
I mean, like I said, how you deal with someone. So let's say certain decisions, choices, actions, or words. Someone's doing something, right? And it's like, that is destructive. You're hurting, let's say they're doing something with their words, they're hurting new converts because they're putting too much pressure, right? And you need to be baptized, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to come to every service, you need, how come, and you're going to say, hey, you're not recognizing you're killing converts. Okay, you're putting too much pressure. That's going to stop me to find them at their level, or I will not allow you to speak with new converts. Right? I've had to do that with people. No, you're not. I haven't got to a point. I've had to tell people over the years, you will not speak to converts until they've been here 6 months. Because they're killing them. Right? So that's a reprimand. Okay? And I've seen some people, that's where they've lived. Right? Years later, that's where they're still at. You know, but others, that reprimand, it helped them. It helped them to fix, right? To heal, to deliver. Sometimes this can look like in counseling of some type, or maybe dealing with someone on morals, etc. There's some type of reprimand. It's a tone. It's a pointing out, right? And so then they go, yeah, I don't want that. I don't want to live like that. So, and it causes things to be fixed, healed, or find deliverance. So, yep. You got to deal with issues. So, good. Any other questions? Yeah, Andrew.
How do you keep yourself from repeating the same response?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, if your response is pride, rejection, worth, self-pity, etc. That's where we talked about the purpose, right? Is you got to settle, like, okay, I'm going to allow this to help me. I'm not going to let it define whether I'm accepted or rejected, because that's not it at all, right? So you settle that. That's something you settle. But that's where I said pray. God, help me when I receive correction that I can apply it to my life. But secondly, heal my rejection or heal my pride, you know, heal my worthiness, right? When you're praying those things because you're asking questions, you're recognizing this is my default response. So God, help me not to do that. Fix that. Whatever that is, whatever it looks like, wherever that comes from, we pray that I'll remember. In the moment when it's like the sky is falling because I'm being corrected or reprimanded or whatever, that I'll remember, but this is for my good. God, help that to just be what comes through so I can apply it. And then when you're praying that, that's going to help you determine the response. You'll be able to shut down whatever those other, you know, repeated responses are. You'll be able to shut those down because I've determined that I'm going to receive it. Yeah. So that's a little bit more in depth to what we kind of skimmed through. Yeah, man.
Is it possible for a man to perform to his detriment and not receive correction? In other words, it's like when you're driving down the road and you know there's a police officer behind you, and so you drive flawlessly. But that's not because you're a flawless driver, it's just because you're trying to be super conscientious of not violating anything like that. But is that, obviously that can't be sustained, you know, for a lifetime.
Sure.
But obviously you're trying to live right and do right. You see what I'm
yeah.
saying? You don't, in other words, you're not
yeah.
going to get that correction. Will it ultimately happen?
That's what I was going to say. Ultimately, somewhere along the line, you will make a mistake that will require some correction. Yeah, it's just bound to happen. You know, no one can live perfectly. And it plays out, Matt. It might be that you've looked, you know, the pristine disciple, you've got charisma, you've got the suits, you've got, you know, some type of, you know, aspect of fruitfulness, but sometimes you really learn some lessons in the field just because it is just you, you know, and your wife or maybe your kids, and you're out there and there's going to be struggles that come up. You know, there's going to be things that come up where you're going to need to ask for help. And maybe you've been doing certain things a certain way, and it's not the case, right? It's like, and it's not what you should be doing, I should say, right? Sometimes, especially when people start getting saved, right? The stable is clean, but then when the animals come in, there's going to be mess. There's going to be issues that come up, and you might deal with it, and then it doesn't work out. Pastor, so this has happened, and this person, and now, and you told them what, right? And you said, and why did you think that was a good idea? You know, and so you're going to get that correction there. You're going to get that how to fix it. Things will come up. And so I would say probably not going to last super long as far as to your own detriment, you know, driving with the sheriff behind you. Eventually, you'll run a stop sign. So, yeah. Yep. So, it's bound to happen. You can't. And that's the other thing, Matt, is some men, they live in such a way they're trying to never make a mistake. And that's a lot of pressure. There's one thing I've learned in ministry is that it's not like you're never going to make a mistake. You know? That was like when I became door director, that was kind of the goal, you know. Just not going to make a mistake, you know. And things came up, you know, and there was some correction. There was some areas that needed. But like I said, I was smarter about it later. I could apply it, and there was broader connections to maybe that one correction. It has had a shelf life because I applied it. So, yeah. It'll come up. Good. Good. I just want us to bow our heads real quick this morning, and I just want to pray for you. Like I said, if you can settle this at this table this morning, it will revolutionize your discipleship. It will revolutionize your marriage. It will revolutionize your relationship with God, your relationship with your pastor. It will revolutionize your fruitfulness. Your ministry will be effective. Because this is scriptural. This is something God says, I want you to do. Have an ear that hears rebuke. Have a heart that doesn't disdain or reject and despise it, but receives it. That would be you would be a person that would heed a rebuke so you can get understanding. I just want to pray for you. Father God, I'm asking, you're going to help each and every man in this place this morning. In this arena, Father God, of receiving correction, it is part of the salvation experience. I'm asking right now, you're going to settle in men's hearts a response in these times, a response that would say, yes, I receive, yes, I'm going to course correct, yes, I'm going to change, yes, I'm going to apply, that it would produce fruitfulness, Lord God, some 40, 60, 100-fold. God, that this is going to bleed into their marriage and bring healing, that this is going to flow into their parenting, that they're going to be balanced in their approaches in life, that this is going to flow into their ministry and into their calling. God, that they would settle this morning, that it would be applied, and that you would make men, men of righteousness, men of character, men of integrity, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for your time.